Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Donnie, we've already had a false start. I was hoping to open with
an
Tomlin's.
Illegal shift.
I was hoping to open with Tomlin's Unleash Hell remark from December of 2009, the keyword being open, which is why I sent you and Limits a text saying, and I
quote, "We will not go gently. We're going to unleash hell here in December because we have to. We won't go in the shell. We're going to go in attack mode.
We won't go in the shell.
Because that's what's required.
We won't go in the shell." You know what happened 2 weeks later? Bruce Gradkowski, no offense to him, lit them up for 21 fourth quarter points, Donnie. But thank you, Limits, and Happy New Year to both of you gentlemen.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Joe.
Yeah, well, a lot of things ahead for you two, especially. You're on your way up in this business. It's going to be very interesting to see where your careers go over the next year, two, three. But it's going to be more interesting to see where this Steeler season goes. And Donnie, and welcome all to a Donnie Football Friday, I might add. It's come to this, Donnie. I have lots of thoughts today. One of them is that if the Bengals beat the Steelers tomorrow night, do you realize that they will finish one game apart in the standings and that the difference between second and third place for the Steelers in the division would have been that game in Cincy? That's what we've come to.
Barely over a month ago, like 33 days ago,
man,
December 1st.
When that game happened, it was Tomlin's coach of the year. This thing is for real, and I was on that bandwagon to a certain degree. You know, I still think that the real point I've been making all year is that I think that this Steelers team has a better chance to win a playoff game, to be a threat than previous Steeler teams. But I'll admit, after these three games in 11 days, I'm wavering on that in a big way. I've been knocked for a loop here. But I open with this, Donnie. And Limits, please weigh in as you see fit. I'm happy to be back on the radio. It's been a while. Do you have any of those cookies with Oreos in them today? Any extras?
Oh, no. How were those, though?
You don't have to ask that question.
You guys go through those pretty quickly?
They were gone in 2 days.
Your lovely girlfriend makes chocolate chip cookies where you can't see from the outside that there's an Oreo inside the chocolate chip cookie, Donnie. You know this already. I'm not telling you anything you don't know.
Yeah, I think she should send that in to like the folks at Oakmont or something.
No extras? You couldn't bring in some extras? Are they all gone? Did you eat them all?
Yeah. I mean, well, like we disperse them throughout various parties, so.
I bet, including in here, which was very generous of you. Is this going to be the Steelers' worst collapse under Tomlin? Let's just open with a question. We've got so much to talk about here on a Donnie Football Friday. JP Roofing and Siding, bringing you the top of the show here off the top. Let me just go over these, and we can rank them. Limits, you game for this?
Let's do it.
You look spry in the new year today. What's your New Year's resolution?
That's a good question, Joe.
to get rid of me, perhaps?
No. Donnie, Joe, I love you.
If you don't have one on the top of your head, then you don't have one, and I don't either, except maybe to eat less sugar and try to lose some weight, but that's mine every year, and the first thing I do on my first show of the new year is ask you about the chocolate chip cookies with Oreos in them. What's yours, Donnie?
So I feel like for everybody, I mean, I guess Limits would be the odd man out because he's probably somebody who should have the goal of gaining weight
in
the
new year.
Normally, it's lose weight for everybody else.
Yes.
And even though I went through a nice transformation over the last couple of years, I think you're always trying to lose a little bit more.
Yeah.
Speaking of those cookies, though, I'm doing something this year. I want to do something this year where I give up something different each month. So I'm doing no sweets in January.
I like that.
Yeah.
My wife is doing no alcohol in January.
The dry January.
Yeah. I'll see if I can test her on that one just by my behavior.
Well, you've
been
going dry for quite some time.
Yeah.
You're in good shape.
Yeah. I'm drier than the Sahara. But she, because of me, I think, likes to drink wine and no alcohol in January. But a different one every. So your resolution is to make a resolution every month. This is borderline genius Limits.
That's very good because I try not to make like a full year-on resolution. I try to think of things like during the year to, you know, I want to be better at this, not put a timeline on it that it has to be like at the start of the year. I do want to go to the gym more. And now that a buddy of mine is back from Erie, where he was up there for school and lived there for a couple of years, and he's like the guy that basically says, like, we're going to the gym and drags me there.
You know what,
I think
Limits?
I'm going to have a more successful time going to the gym.
You and I could combine on that, and I'll tell you how. The Green Tree Sportsplex we could walk to.
It is very nice. If neither of you have
been
there
multiple times. It's awesome. We should play some volleyball there, too.
We could do that, and we could join the club and go there for a half hour. That's it. Before or after work and commit ourselves to it.
You know, we also have a gym in the building, Joe.
Yeah,
it's like across the street.
Yeah, it's like down the street. Yeah, that's actually what I first thought
for
you
free?
Were talking about. Yeah, if
what?
You just have your little card, like the card you get in our door with, you
Holy
can go
horse
to the
follicles. Yeah,
we should start going
like,
to that.
It's like the Foster Plaza gym. It's right down the.
But
the
we
hill.
Also have hoops over at Green Tree.
Yeah, I didn't factor that in.
You and I can factor in lots of basketball, volleyball, workouts.
Donnie, do you see our basketball game that we played, Joe and I?
Did you guys post the whole game or just
the
highlight
coming
of
out
Joe
with the video?
Hitting the shot?
I thought it was supposed to be today, but I will check in.
Because Limits beat me 21, or what did it be, 17-16 in overtime.
I saw the highlight of your you know, step
Fallaway.
Back.
Yeah, nice, huh?
And yeah, I mean, I showed my dad. You guys, like I've said, are around the same age. Very impressed.
Thank you, sir. You should see the shots I made when we had Jalen Lowe and Biba Cummings. You should see the shots. I had those guys calling me the GOAT.
We teamed up.
Like Bob Cousy.
Jalen Lowe was like, man, Joe's the GOAT.
I made a shot, Donnie. I'm not going to give it away now. It was a trick shot in a game of horse. We're all trying to avoid the subject here because it's depressing. The Steelers are in the midst of a collapse. Would this be the worst one, Donnie? I'll go over the top four here because so many collapses, so little time, right? This year, it would be, if they lose out, it would be five losses in a row, beginning with three lopsided losses in 11 days and blowing a two-game lead in the AFC North to begin December, okay? 2020, they opened 11-0. And somehow wound up a three seed. They lost five of their final six, including maybe the worst playoff loss in franchise history, getting embarrassed at home by giving up 48 points to the fighting Baker Mayfields, who didn't even have their coach on the sidelines, and some guy named Frank showed up in their huddle before the game. 2018, the Steelers were 7-2-1 after 10 games. With a 2.5-game lead on the Ravens, who were 5-5, they blew that. They didn't win the division. They missed the playoffs by losing 4 of 6 to end the season, including one in Oakland. And oh yeah, Mr. Big Chess quit to sort of punctuate that collapse. Okay, you guys keeping track here? 2009, which lent the wonderful quote, if you could call it up again. Why don't we do that? Because going into this, the Steelers were just starting to slide a little after a 6-2 start when Mike Tomlin stepped to the podium.
I go gently. We're going to unleash hell here in December because we have to. We won't go into shell. We're going to go in attack mode because that's what's required.
Instead, they were attacked, Donnie. After starting 6-2, they lost 5 in a row and missed the playoffs, including horrifying losses to the Chiefs back when the Chiefs were really bad, and the Raiders when Gradkowski had those 21 points in the fourth quarter. And they ended that streak by losing in Cleveland on a Thursday night to Brady Blanken-Quinn, who went 6-19. Does that ring a bell from this year? They went into Cleveland on a Thursday night and lost to Brady Quinn, who went 6-19. They lost that game 13-6. Obviously, they didn't make the playoffs. If either one of you can guess in the next 5 seconds who ran for the Browns' only touchdown that night, Donnie, I already owe you a dinner. I'll treat you to a steak dinner. Who ran for the Browns' the only touchdown of the game that night in a windstorm where Bruce Arians thought it was a good idea to throw 40 passes in a windstorm in Cleveland? Who ran for the Browns' touchdown? Either one of you?
I'll give Limits the first guess.
Josh Cribbs on a jet sweep?
Good guess, but no.
I'm going to go Ruben Drones.
No. I'll give you each another guess if you want it. Do you want another guess, Donnie? You're very good at this.
Jamal Lewis wouldn't have still been there.
I don't know. I don't know if he was.
Yeah, he popped into my mind, too. I feel like it would be too obvious to say Peyton Hillis.
Chris Jennings ran for the touchdown. I don't even remember who he was. Do you?
I have no idea who he is.
He had 71 yards that night. All right, so make your pick. If the Steelers lose out here, or even if they beat Cincinnati and lose the first playoff game, that's still a major collapse. They've lost the division, basically, which is already a collapse. But if they don't win a playoff game here, and especially if they just lose right out, Donnie, where does this rank among the 4 worst Tomlin collapses?
So I don't have it at 1 or 2. I mean, I think you could argue that it's at 3 or 4, but I think it's actually in the bottom half there, because that 09 one is so memorable. It was coming off their Super Bowl win in 43. And like you said, they start 6-0 and they get that 6th win on Monday Night Football, a national audience against the Broncos, who were also a good team at the time, and they win convincingly 28-10 in that game. I also think it is fair, and I don't like using excuses for this current team, because I think the whole 3 games in 11 days and, you know, the opponents they've played, I think that's been used ad nauseum by people. But I do think it is fair when you're comparing the collapses to look at who they've lost to in the stretch.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, they had the Thursday night loss to the Browns in the snow, but they've also lost.
There's no but there, Donnie. They lost to the Browns on a Thursday night in the snow, much like they did back in 09. You were giving them a free pass that game, and that's the game that's going to prevent them from winning the division.
Well, they also have gone into this stretch and have just gotten bodied by the three teams that people thought they could maybe stack up with.
You're not giving them a free pass for that, are you?
No.
Okay.
No, because they wanted to be seen as Super Bowl contenders, and they've been shown the door 3 times by real Super Bowl contenders. But I do think it's fair when to compare collapses here. Like, that 09 team lost to some brutally bad teams.
I do
not
agree
just
with you
one.
There. Yeah.
Where this team lost to the Browns. They lost to multiple bad teams.
So you're picking 09?
09's the top dog for me. Top dog, get your top dollar, Joe. And that 09 one is the ultimate collapse. I think 18 comes after that. I also think the fact that they missed the playoffs in both of those years does play a factor when they were pretty safely in a spot until they started to completely crater.
Limitless wonder.
Well, Tomlin said earlier this year that the decisions that he makes is why he's well compensated. He was not getting top dollar for that 09 season, so that's why I have to go with it as well. Even though the 2020 season sticks in my mind so much, I can't pick it as the top one because of just the oddity of it. No fans in the stands. Just the weird nature of how they ended the season. And starting off 11-0, where we all kind of thought it was a fluke, that would probably be 2 for me. The 09 collapse unleashing hell in December is just too memorable to not put it 1.
Man, there's one thing that jumps in here, and that is that Ben missed a game in 09 in the midst of that collapse in Baltimore with an injury, you'll remember.
Was that when Dennis Dixon started?
I think Dennis Dixon started. He was injured the week before against Kansas City, if you remember. And in Baltimore, it was Dennis Dixon. He was 12 of 26 that night. So a compromise Ben actually takes me out of that equation. First of all, they lost to a good Bengals team that won the division that year. You remember the and Andy Dalton came in here in 09 and won? And then they lose to Kansas City. Horrible loss, but Ben injured. Then he misses the Baltimore game. That doesn't excuse the next two, but I feel like he was compromised a little bit back then, which is why I'm going with 2018. You have a 2.5-game lead in the division in December, and you lose the division? Or at least after 10 games. I don't know if it was officially December. And then AB quits, and you lose a game in Oakland. That's number one for me. But this one's in those four for sure. And if they lose out, man, when you go from he's coach of the year, this is the, one of the surprise teams of the year, the division's wrapped, they're for real, to losing to maybe the Texans in the first round of the playoffs, that's a steep fall. And by the way, if it did play out that way, since the 2010 season when the Steelers went to the Super Bowl, if the Texans beat them in a playoff game, they would have doubled the Steelers' playoff wins since that year, 6-3. The Houston blanking Texans would have double the number of playoff wins since 2010 than the Pittsburgh Steelers. So that kind of gets back to, for me, Tomlin did A-plus work, Donnie, in his first 5 years here. Since then, it's about a C-plus. But it does now get to the second question I have for you, fine gentlemen. If they merely win a playoff game, is that the difference between a successful season and an unsuccessful season?
So we had this discussion yesterday, and I don't know if you'll view this as a cop-out of an answer. I do think it depends who they run into in that wild card round. If the Steelers end up playing the Texans, who have been on, kind of on a similar path this year, like not looking very good. They're a benefit of a bad division.
Yeah.
So they're going to host a playoff game. If the Steelers go in there and win a game like 16-13 and then they get drubbed in the next round, then absolutely not. But let's
what
say,
if they just lose and don't get drubbed? What if they lose in overtime? You're putting a lot of qualifiers on this.
Wait, Donnie. Are you saying they lose to the Texans?
Yeah, you said if they get drubbed by the Texans. What if they lose a really good game?
No, I'm saying if they like beat the Texans, and they get drubbed in the next round, won't be satisfied. Because the Texans have been a team that have been going downhill for the back half of this season.
Okay.
But if they go into Baltimore and they win a playoff game, I think that changes the equation a little bit. I mean, wouldn't it for you? I mean, they went in there a few weeks ago.
I don't know about this limits. Donnie's putting 18 qualifiers on this. If they beat the Texans and then get drubbed, well, what if they beat the Texans and then lose a great game to the Bills in triple in overtime?
I'd be satisfied with that.
What if they
can step toe to toe with one of the true elites of the AFC, even in a loss at any point in the playoffs, I would actually be satisfied.
But if they get drubbed by the Bills, you wouldn't be.
No,
there's too many qualifiers on this, Donnie, for me. If they win a playoff game by any stretch against any opponent, by any means necessary, this season is a success. If they lose in the first round of the playoffs, the season is a failure. I've got a report card in front of me. Yeah, the exam would be tougher, so study harder. And also realize that that's a Ravens team that you've beaten, what, 8 out of 10 times, 8 out of 11 now? Mm-hmm. And that you had in a very precarious position, even in Baltimore, even in Lamar's, maybe his greatest season, he's only been intercepted 4 times this year. Guess who has 2 of them? The Steelers. Yep. And they had that one, and then Russell gave the game away with a horrible interception. So for me, for Donnie, what was your answer, Donnie? It depends on the opponent.
Yes, because if they simply just beat the Texans in like an ugly game and then get killed in the next round, yeah, then I don't know how much satisfaction you take from that. But if they would go into Baltimore and win, And then no matter what happens after that, but if they would beat a team like Baltimore in the first round, I think that's pretty satisfactory.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And even lose by get killed the next week.
Yeah, because it would at least show that they're stepping up against probably the third best team in the AFC. Well, yeah, the third best team in
all
the
right,
AFC.
All right, you're probably, you know, more sensible and logical than me, but you're splitting hairs. Yeah. I'm saying a playoff win's a successful year. They've been starved for it. You can no longer say that TJ Watt doesn't even have one of those in his career. To me, that makes for a successful season. I compare it to Penn State right now. You still have people, they still have to beat a really good team in these playoffs to make sure Franklin, you know, deserves to come back. They're in the Final Four. Come on. They just beat two teams.
Right.
They went in and hammered that kid who's a great running back. I know he had 100 yards, but he had like 35 carries to get there, 30, mm-hmm. whatever. They played, they're among the last four teams standing in the country. I don't care about the details. Give me a Steeler playoff win. I don't care about the details. It's a successful year. Give me a Steelers playoff loss in the first round in on wild card weekend again, and it's a failure.
See, I'm with Donnie on this because I harp back to the fact that they were one game away, just one game, from winning the division. You take care of business in Baltimore, you would have won the division, and the rest, I think, would have been just numb and void. Just throw it out the window. You lose to the Chiefs, you lose to Cincinnati, whatever. But if they go to Houston and they win a slugfest, okay, great, finally TJ Watt gets a playoff game and gets just crushed in Buffalo or Kansas City, I feel like the expectations have been been lowered so substantially that we're talking about just one playoff win against a Houston team that might be 9-8 going into it after already losing the division, losing three out of four games going into the playoffs. That's what's going to stick in my mind more so than winning a playoff game.
The theme of this season on this station is suddenly free passes again, Donnie. What are we doing
here?
What
free passes am I giving?
If they go into the second round and just play a good game?
No, if they go into the second round and get blown out, then I think
if they just go in and play a good game in the second round and lose, then you give them a success. Of course, I'm giving them a successful season just for beating the Texans.
Yes. Yeah.
Maybe I'm giving out the free pass.
Well, I don't think
maybe I've been sucked into the pony free pass theme.
I've never thought all year that they could beat Buffalo in the playoffs. That was the one team that stood out to me that they weren't going to beat. And the way that Kansas City came in and destroyed them at home on Christmas Day, I don't think they can go to Kansas City and win.
I'm just surprised. I don't really care about Houston's record at this point. I'm surprised that going into Houston and winning a playoff game would not make for a successful season for you guys. That's what surprises me.
To what Austin just said, though, I hate how watered down our expectations have become.
I agree with that,
because
they have been.
I understand. It's been nearly a decade since they have won a playoff game.
No, Donnie, here's the way to look at this. I think you and I have talked about this. Your first conscious memory was at what age? 5 or 6?
Yeah.
Let's say 6.
Yeah.
So combine that with if they don't win a playoff game this year, and you have kids who are going to be freshmen in high school next year, thousands upon thousands of kids in Steeler Nation who would go into their freshman year of high school with no conscious memory of the Steelers winning a playoff game. But go ahead.
I actually think that's a really good point, because I've thought about also what since the Steelers last got back to a Super Bowl, if you count baseball wild card wins.
Those kids are getting Social Security by now for a Super Bowl.
The Steelers and Pirates have the same amount of playoff wins.
You're right about that.
Very true.
Since the Steelers' last playoff or last Super Bowl appearance.
Joe, I was a sophomore in high school.
And the Houston Texans have two more than the Steelers. You were a sophomore in high school?
The last time they won a playoff game. I was a sophomore in high school.
And then there's the fact that there's three playoff wins. If they don't win one this year, it would be 3 in 14 years. 3 in 14 years. And in 12 of those seasons, there would be none. And the three quarterbacks they would have beaten would be A.J. McCarron, Matt Moore, and Alex Smith. I mean, it's just, it's mind-boggling, the national media narrative of Tomlin being a great, like, legendary coach. He's a good coach. He hasn't been a great coach in a long, long time. Just ask the kids that are headed to high school and have never seen him standing on the sideline for a playoff win. I mean, you can't say that and then say, oh, but he is a great coach. Those two statements don't jibe.
And this will fuel the fire for the people on the other side, too, if they do continue to crater, if they completely crash and burn. Not for the people that predicted them to finish below 500, but I think they'll be close enough to it. Like, oh, okay, well, they started 10-3. Everybody in the pro Mike Tomlin camp, pro Steelers camp, was everything's hunky-dory. You know, they're all getting their jollies now, but they finished 10-8. Like, you might as well have finished below 500 because you ruined your season. It completely blew up on you.
You're once again in the last place you want to be, which is where they're not renting in this place. They've bought a house in the mediocre middle. And that's the last place you want to be in pro sports. And it's so, I don't know if the word's ironic, but this franchise in particular, not to mention the other one in town that's won recent championships, the Penguins, are two of the glowing examples in the history, and the glasses come off for this one, Donnie. In the maybe this is a Grandpa Joe story time with Grandpa Joe. Could that be?
I'll pull up a chair right next to the fire.
A little cup of hot cocoa with miniature. Do we agree on the miniature marshmallows, Donnie, and not the big ones?
I think we did, yeah.
Yeah. They melt easier? Is that the
key
there?
They definitely would, yeah.
Yeah. In the history of sports, two of the glowing examples of what tanking, intentionally or unintentionally, can mean to a franchise and is by far preferable to living in the middle for year after year after year are the Steelers and the Penguins. The Steelers' dynasty of the 70s was born of sucking. It was born of being able to draft Terry Bradshaw and Franco Harris. And then they started to get good. And then the 74 draft was just brilliance more than, hey, you know, we stink, so we have a bunch of high picks. But the quarterback and the guy that people say changed it as much as anybody, and Joe Green, the guy that started it all, were products of stinking. And you know who else was? And here's the great irony of, and let me make sure I phrase this properly. It's not an, is it an 18-year winning streak? No, it's an 18-year non-losing streak. That's always the first graphic they show. And I have to say two things. One is that the great irony of that is that the legendary non-losing streak was born of a losing season. Ben Roethlisberger is the person most responsible for that non-losing streak, and they had to go 6-10 to have a shot at him. That's number one. Number two, I'm pretty sure, especially if they lose this year, that the more impressive streak, in quotes, impressive, meaning makes an impression on you, is 8 years without a playoff win. And by the way, if they get blown out in the first round, it'll be 8 years without coming close to a playoff win, which I think is an important qualifier, just like non-losing is an important qualifier on that other streak that everybody talks about. So this living in the middle and finishing 10-8 or whatever it would be, Donnie, I mean, it seems to be good enough for Art. It seems to be good enough for him because he keeps extending Tomlin by multiple years.
I brought up a point to a caller last night, and it was something that I said last year that got a lot of people fired up because based on how the teams finish every year, it's very easy to jump all over me for this. But I've said before that we get on the owner of the baseball team, Bob Nutting, in this town. I don't think he and Art Rooney are all that much different as owners. I think one of them just inherited an incredibly better situation than the other. How much better have the Steelers gotten?
But there's a very important distinction here, Donnie, that in one, the issue is simply spending. In the other, you have a salary cap sport. So
I get that.
the crux of all the Bob Nutting criticism. If you list, if you asked, you know, a million Pirates fans, what's your main problem with Bob Nutting? In a word, they would say spending, or they may use another word.
I get that. I mean, the GM also doesn't do anything, for the record. He's made one move, I think, this offseason.
Yeah.
But the team has reached a point where that standard they talk about has gone like this in a downward slope, and they're seemingly okay with, oh, well, you know, we made the playoffs. You know, we ran the football pretty well. We had a 1,000-yard rusher again. You know, I do hear that,
but at least the standard for the Steelers would be let's get to the playoffs and lose in the first round. For the Pirates, it's let's finish at the bottom of the league. And there, and by the way, a further indictment, the Pirates can't do what the Steelers of the 70s did and what they did by drafting Ben and what the Penguins did by tanking twice and then winning cups. They can't even turn that into winning. They can't even turn tanking into making the right draft picks, Henry Davis, and turning that into winning. But anyway, 412-928-9370. My final question for you nice young gentlemen here, as I put my glasses back on, Donnie, did you bring us lunch today? Or
I only brought myself lunch today. That's all I had.
What are you having?
Well, I had a doctor's appointment this morning, so some chicken parm left over.
Look at this. I have chicken parm over Alfredo, and I'm willing to share this with you, Limits.
Oh, Joe, that would be incredible.
Yeah, I'll split that with
but
you.
But only if you're willing. I'm not going to ask.
I just said I was willing.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Should the Steelers rest their starters if the Ravens win?
No. No, because this is it's a different position than I feel we've seen them rest starters in the past.
May I add something quickly before you go into this?
Go ahead.
Back to my other point. Winning against the Texans, but this Tomlin is a great legendary coach or just a good coach. Beating the Texans in a first-round playoff game would not make him a great coach again. I don't want anybody to get confused on that. But for me, it would mean the difference between a successful an unsuccessful season. But now the question is, should he rest starters if they beat or if the Ravens win earlier in the day and thus clinch the division? Donnie,
no, I think you should only be in a position to rest players if you are truly locked into your spot. If the Ravens were to win that game and we knew the Steelers would be the five or the six, they couldn't go up or down no matter what happened against Cincinnati, then rest them. But if they win the game, they get a much more favorable matchup in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah.
I think you absolutely try to win the football game. Do not rest people. I understand the health point of things. You also want to right the ship a little bit here. If you can have a nice game, you can win. Your offense can put up points against a bad defense. You can have the vibes feeling a little bit better than, hey, we just got bludgeoned again by Cincinnati, by the way, and now we're going to Baltimore. So, but don't worry, because the guy that was on the shelf, Dante Jackson, with his bad back, he's good to go.
Now, I said health over home game down the stretch here, and they sort of split the difference here. They've been playing some hurt guys. They've been resting people, like in the Philly game. They haven't really, I don't think, taken one tack or the other. Health over home game was one thing. I'm not sure that applies in a case of health over favored opponent. And there's a huge difference here, Donnie, in who you can play. And if the Steelers lose, they're in danger of playing the Ravens, correct?
Yeah, and I do not like going into all of this, I gave them, now I know they can't do this because of how things worked out last week, luckily. But going into the last few weeks, I gave them zero chance in Buffalo or Kansas City, slim chance in Baltimore, and a favorable one in Houston. I think as of today, I would pick them to win a game in Houston.
There's a huge difference here, so I would play guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Except I would still use the same criterion I've been using. The same rules apply for me. If you'd play in a normal game, you play in this game. I'm not just, resting starters all over the place for the sake of saving them. But for those who are already banged up, if you could play in a normal game, you play. If this is like you could only play in a do or die game, then you sit. For me, I don't think it's that. I wouldn't get to that point with it where I'm risking already injured guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and we can't call this a must win. We like using that term a whole lot because they're in. They're into the playoffs no matter what. So I think it's hard to say this is a must win game or else because the season's not over. They will play next week. I do, however, for their psyche and for their positioning, I think they have to win. So maybe splitting those hairs a little bit again, but
well, I mean, what if they lose? They just played a 44-38 game. What if they lose 44-38 and then the Chargers lose in Vegas, which is very possible, and they still get to go to Houston? You'd feel worse about their chances?
No. I mean, I'm kind of going with the assumption that the favorites take care of business, I guess, in those other games. That doesn't always happen. We know weird things happen in the final week of seasons where teams oddly blow games when they simply just have to win. If they end up in Houston by hook or by crook, I will feel good about the situation.
I'll feel okay about the situation. From what I saw, I thought C.J. Stroud, the last time I saw them play was against Baltimore. That was a highly competitive game where he looked like the Stroud of last year. I think he would give this secondary major problems